Thank you so much for joining us today for the Pastor's Potluck Podcast. Here on the Pastor's Potluck, it's similar to a normal potluck where you might get something that you want and there may be something that you just want to pass up altogether. And that's okay. There's something here for everybody. Our goal here is to encourage you and maybe in the process entertain you. If you're ready, let's dig in. Welcome, 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 old and young, come one, come all, sit down, join us for another episode. That's what I'm gonna start. I'm gonna start doing that. I'm gonna start doing the intro like those, like a public broadcasting, like AM classical channel.
See, I was thinking circus. I was thinking you need like a calliope going on behind you.
Oh,
you
no.
Need come one, come all.
I need like a little monkey that like you just throw peanuts in the ground and you got that little crank box that's yeah. playing music. And no, I like so I don't know if they even still do this. I haven't listened to the radio in God knows how long. But back in the day on like AM channels, they would have like, it was either talk show, like sports talk show, like shows, or they would do like classical music.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, if you couldn't find anything that you wanted to listen to people talk about, it was just like, oh, just listen to music or whatever. It's just mindless, whatever. But it was always like classical music. And they were like, welcome to another episode of the Pastor's Potluck Podcast.
You ever listen to NPR? There's one guy on there that's like, he talks like this, just real quiet and
no.
smooth.
No. Dude, I don't get people like that. I want to hang out with people who are loud.
Get the Alex Jones voice, you know?
No, not that loud. No, I just want, I don't know, I guess I want people to match my energy sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, dude, if I just want to be sitting down and being quiet, I want everybody else around me to be quiet. But if I'm excited for something or whatever, I'm like, dude, how come you're not excited?
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah.
Come on, you got to get pumped up.
Yeah, they're like, dude, we're just outside walking around. Like, what are you talking about? Like, there's nothing exciting about this. I'm like, but I'm excited, so I want you to be excited, please. Please, for all things that are good, please. Just get excited with me. It's just like if you go to, I don't know if you've ever been to like a theme park and there's always like one of your friends that's just like, yep, we are here.
That's me.
See, I
I don't like theme parks though.
What?
Yeah, never been my thing.
You don't like going on roller coasters or anything?
Oh,
like that?
I hate roller coasters.
Why? Do you get like motion sickness?
No, they scare me.
They scare you?
Yep. I don't like heights. I went to Disney when I was little, and I rode the Tower of Terror, and when the doors open up,
yeah, at the
and
top
then
of
you
it.
See the, everything, I'm like, nope.
I ain't doing that. You know they closed that down, right?
Did they really?
Yeah, they're making, I think they're going to change it to, I think it's still going to be the same ride, but they're going to make it into like the Avengers Tower.
That's lame. Dude, I like ghosts and stuff, though. Like the creepy aspect, really, like. That's cool to me.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's just one of those things, too, that they're going to keep on making decisions to take all these old rides and stuff. I mean, they shut down, what is it, the Country Bear Jamboree or something like that?
What?
Yeah, it's gone. It's done.
All right. They're going to end up getting rid of Pirates of the Caribbean.
That's what I'm saying. Like, when? Well, maybe not, because they still, I think they're still going to be cranking out movies. Like the Pirates movies.
I think Johnny Depp comes back.
No, I don't think so. I think the next one's going to be like a female lead.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, what happens whenever you get rid of Space Mountain? What happens whenever you get rid of It's a Small World? Like those old, like, are they going to get rid of the Jungle Cruise ride?
Yeah, yeah, that makes no sense to me. Maybe I'm just a little stuck too much on nostalgia, but it just seems like that's quintessential Disney park, you know?
I agree, 100%. Like, you can't get rid of that stuff.
Yeah.
There's something about things and attractions and that bring so much joy that whenever it can impact generations, you got to think of like the people who were little kids whenever the park first opened,
yeah,
and then they ride these things. And then there's like some emotional connection to these things because it's just mind blowing. You know, when did Disney open? In the 50s or something like that?
Yeah, something around there.
But, and then that dude grows up, maybe has gone a couple of times as he's grown up, gets married, has kids of his own, and then his kids experience the same exact feeling that he had whenever he first wrote it. But that's not where it stops. It stops because if he's a little kid in the 50s and then he has kids in the 70s or whatever, whenever he's in his 20s, then his kids are now old enough to be able to take their own kids. So the grandkids are now going and experiencing these things.
Yeah, it's like a multi-generational experience.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so it's like, what?
When you completely revamp it, you'll lose that aspect.
Or you take it away.
Yeah.
Because there's going to come a point in time to where people are no longer going to even think or talk about it or even know that they existed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you basically took everybody's happiness and flushed it.
I mean, that sounds like Disney.
Oh, yeah, but it's kind of cool, too, because, like, not to make any comparison to what we're talking about today, but it's almost like worship music.
Yeah.
I told you that this was going to transition a different way, but then I was just like, no, no, no. Like we still have to do, like, a really good service to singing stuff that is making people feel.
Yeah.
Like whenever they first came to have a relationship with Jesus. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of a lot of the hymns and stuff like that because I'm coming to realize that theologically they're not correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, we can't sing "I'll Fly Away" because that's never, that's not what's going to happen.
On, yeah.
Like, we have an understanding that whenever Jesus comes back, he is going to make all things new. We're not going to be taken and zipped and whisked away to some fairyland. I shouldn't say it like that. That's terrible.
I get what you're saying, though. You but, know, this, like, people like create this idea that, like, it's away from here. You know, you get to leave all this behind. But in reality, it's, this is part of it. It will be the new heavens and new earth. It's where it's all combined, you know? It's,
yes.
Like, we're not going away. It's all coming together.
Yeah. And it's all being restored.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, God's creation is, I don't think God has ever looked at what he has created and just said, I just want to be done with it.
Yeah.
I'm done with that. That's not in his nature.
Yep.
He's gotten really close.
Yeah. Couple of times, you know.
But the goal has always been to have to restoration.
Yeah.
Not only just for humanity, but for all creation.
I mean, that was the reason for the flood, was to jumpstart the creation, to try to get back to the Garden of Eden, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and then we all know what happened there.
Looking at you, Genesis, Book of Genesis. No, but we have these moments in worship to where we've seen like a lot of change, especially so much in the past 30 years, because I want to say growing up, like, I was going to a church that all they did was sing hymns. And then most of what Christian music was outside of church was kind of like, and you still have a lot of it today, which is okay, because I believe that it serves a purpose to uplift and encourage people, but it's almost kind of like storytelling Christian music.
Yeah.
So Michael W. Smith, this is, I mean, he had a song called, I don't know what it was called, but he's saying stuff like friends are friends forever if the Lord's a Lord of them. Like, we can't get together and sing that because it's not worship music. He also had like another song that said something about like sitting in the rain with water on your brain, got a hole in your boat trying to stay afloat while the world's trying to keep you down. And it's like, it's good stuff because there's a good message in it, because like, it's always good to sing about God's faithfulness, but I believe that there's better ways to do that.
Yeah.
In a way,
you want to truly edify God and bring glory to him.
Yeah.
And that's might not be the clearest way to do that.
No, because if somebody was sitting in church and the first time they hear it and they're like sitting in the rain, you're like, dude, there's a roof over our head. What are you talking about? We're not in a boat.
Yeah.
I'm standing up in a room that has chairs.
and that's what's crazy to me is how often, like, we got to be deliberate with being clear, you know, because when we deliver this message, we have to be careful that they receive the true gospel from it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I see that in a lot of music. Like, when I was in middle school going to youth and all that, I was really into like Switchfoot, Thousand Foot Crutch, Skillet. And you listen to that music and it's not very clear, you know.
It's fantastic stuff though,
because first
off, it gives kids like the opportunity to listen to something that's clean. It does have a message. But I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's very thematic, like, or what am I trying to say? It's a good message, great lyrics, but like you said, it's not very clear.
Yeah. Which works out, you know, when you're a kid and kind of probably on the fence a little bit and you want to listen to your hard rock and things. And
yeah. Yeah. Well, my kids are right now. Well, my oldest is into rap, so he listens to like a lot of Christian rap, like Lecrae and NF.
He's in a good time though then for that.
Oh, it was terrible growing up.
Yeah.
Like for me, there was this one guy that was like, he was pretty good, but his name was T-Bone.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And, he just wasn't very well known. So I think he maybe did one album or something like that. But he had lyrics in one of his songs, like it was almost kind of like scaring people to follow Jesus because he was painting a picture to where he said something like, pushing up daisies 6 feet underground, the last thing you heard was a shotgun sound. And I'm like, I don't, what? I'm trying to follow Jesus here, bruh. I don't want to be scared. I don't want to die, obviously, but I mean, it's been interesting to kind of to see how music changes and how it does. And one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is there's what we are seeing is we are seeing artist worship teams be put on a pedestal almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
You hear and you see a lot of the Hillsongs, the Elevations, the Bethels, the individuals like Phil Wickham, Brandon Lake. For them, I can imagine that it can be very easy for them to fall into what the world would see happening with other musicians and other bands.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How important is your relationship to God whenever you start seeing, you know, your music take off? And because, I mean, the temptations, it just seems like the more money you got, the bigger the temptations get.
This might be a bit of a hot take. So I like to go to, every time something comes to the Coliseum, I go and see them. Last one I went and saw was Lauren Daigle.
Yeah.
And her music, phenomenal. Her voice, phenomenal. But I didn't find it to be very worshipful, you know? It seemed to be more about Lauren Daigle than God.
Yeah.
And funny enough, Brandon Lake did like a 20-minute set before her, and it was just pure worship. It was great. But I see that, like, when you get into that aspect of it, like, it's how do you put God before you, you know? And especially when I get up there on stage every Sunday, I ask God, I'm sitting in that drum cage, and I'm like, God, let me bring glory to you. Take me out of this.
Yeah.
You know, because it's really hard. And, you know, when I was in youth, I went to Kings River, and they had a full worship team and everything. And I'd sit in the worship center and watch the drummer just mystified, thinking he's some, like, crazy, like, awesome person. And, you know, putting him on a pedestal. Like, we even see it, I think, with our small worship teams, not just these big ones like Elevation and things. Like,
yeah.
It's, like, I think we need to, like, I don't know, foster a connection more, you know?
Yeah.
And I think make it seem obtainable, you know, and like welcoming and not some sort of like green room worship team.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that everybody's individual walk with the Lord is going to be like a little bit different because we're all in different seasons of our life and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. for me, my relationship with Jesus is so important that I don't do stuff primarily with the idea that there's going to be nothing that's going to get in the way. Like, I don't allow myself to just go sit at a restaurant, watch a game, and just have a beer.
Yeah.
Because I don't want somebody else to walk by and say, man, that dude loves Jesus, but he's doing exactly what I do. Like, what's the difference? Like, I want my life to be, I want whenever people see me and they understand that I'm a Christ follower, I want them to go, man, I want that. There's something different.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm doing something that everybody else is doing, then I'm not being different.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't drink. I don't go out and do those things because I want them to say, I want people whenever they look at my life and they go, man, he follows Jesus, but like he's always having a good time. He's not doing all this other stuff, this extracurricular activity, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And I want that to be appealing because we're called to be light in dark places. We're called to be salt, which changes anything that it comes in contact with. So the way that we do that is we have to live lives that are completely focused and solely all about Jesus. Yes, we're married. Yes, I have kids. I love to play video games. I love to do those. You know, I still have hobbies and stuff like that. But there's things that about my relationship that I have chosen not to do and I won't do because I don't want salt to lose its effectiveness.
Yeah.
And I really do pray for worship teams and worship leaders that are big because I understand that. I mean, I can't imagine like if you won the lottery and you just came by or you just had some crazy like long lost uncle that was just like a multi-millionaire and left it all to you. You know, if you come across money, you don't think that the temptation to go back to an old lifestyle would be there and that it wouldn't hit you harder than it hits you right now?
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean,
because everything's available now.
Yeah. Well, not even that. Like with the news I got last week at the doctor, I was just like, you know, I had that split second thought of, you know,
how do I cope with this information that I've been given?
Yeah, forget it. I mean, what's the point? Let's just go back to everything the way it was and not care about nothing.
I deal with that all the time. All the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, ugh. You know, there's moments in ministry where you get frustrated and you're just like, God, I know you've called me to do this, but why is there a gas station right down at the bottom of the hill that I could literally walk to and just go buy a beer?
Yeah. 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 Or a pack of cigarettes or anything, you know, to just like, I mean, I haven't smoked a cigarette in 2 years, but like I'll get a random craving, you know?
And oh,
like,
yeah.
And it's right there, you know?
Yeah.
And it's one of those things. And it's where the discipline comes in our walk because I could see that with you know, the bigger worship teams, they are kind of living that rock and roll lifestyle. They have that ability,
yeah,
to just do what they want, and we've seen it happen with some people. Who's that one comedian?
John Crist,
I think so. Yeah, who had been drinking and partying and all that, and
yeah, then, sleeping around and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the temptation's always there, and we have to lean on God in those moments, and
yeah,
ask for, you know, the ability to see the correct thing to do, you know, to do his will. And then when we start doing our will, that's when we all kind of mess up.
Yeah. Our total dependence on God, it's not just a Sunday morning thing, or it's literally a conscious effort 24 hours a day. Like, I want to rely on God to be a better husband. I want to rely on God to be a better father. I want to rely on God to be a better follower, you know, of Jesus. I want to rely on God to be a better pastor. I want to rely on God in everything that I do. I don't, it's funny, 'cause like some people, like, if you get to hang around me enough, you understand that I like to pray before I do anything.
Yeah.
Like, we always pray before we do this. We always pray before we do worship rehearsals. We pray before we do Sunday morning services. We pray at the end of them. And it's like, it's because if I tried to do this on my own, I would screw it up.
Yep.
Big time. I wouldn't, I probably wouldn't even have a job.
Yeah, right. I learned that every time, like, because I'm kind of bad about it, you know, especially like, I don't want to make it a, you know, have to thing. I don't want to check a box. And by not wanting to make it a box checking thing, I often push God to the wayside. When I need to pray, I don't pray, you know.
But sometimes, and maybe this is just for you, or maybe it's for somebody else, if we want it to be a part of our lifestyle, we have to make it a checking box situation.
It's really about, and what I'm learning is, how it stands in your heart. You know, are you doing it just to check the box, or are you doing it to commune with God and make sure you're following him?
Well, let me ask you this. How many times have you read the Bible and you get through a chapter and you're like, I don't even know what I just read?
Oh, 90% of the time.
Like, I have to go back and read this again.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there's been moments to where I get done reading a chapter or two and I have that same thought. I'm like, what did I just read? And then I still feel like I went through the motions, you know, obviously. Yep. And then I get so frustrated, or something else pops up, and then I don't even get back into it. And then I know that the next time that I open my Bible, I'm going to have that thought, like, okay, I need to be more intentional with this. And then I do say a prayer, Lord, show me what you want me to learn from this. There's obviously something here that you've reminded me about the last time that I read this. I didn't take anything away from it. There was no truth revealed. There was no application that I could apply to my life. There was nothing. It was, I don't even remember what it was about. And taking that moment to where we're just like, okay, I'm God, show me something. Show me something. And I think that the more that we get into this mindset to where you could still create checklist.
Yeah.
As long as you understand the end goal of what you're trying to do. If you're creating a checklist just to clean the windows in your house and whatever, like,
yeah,
you're literally just going through the motions. But the reason that you have that checklist is because you want to do maintenance on your house.
Yep.
You want to make sure that you have clean dishes to eat off of. You want to, whenever I stand at the back door and I'm looking through the window, I don't want dust and dirt and dog print and, you know, kids' fingers all over the place. I want it to be good. And so the reason that you create these checklists is because you want your lifestyle to be a reflection.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I want people to understand that I take this seriously.
Yeah.
And so it's okay to have a checklist because you want your lifestyle to be different. You want your relationship to be different. You want your walk with the Lord to be different than it was the day before.
Yeah, it's like take the 90% of the time you're not understanding something. There's that other 10% where you're just getting slapped in the face with some knowledge, you know?
Yeah.
And you're not going to get that other 10% if you're not putting in that 90%. And, like, I like to pray before I read the Bible, because every time I've prayed before I read the Bible, I get some knowledge dropped on me.
Oh, I know.
Like, I was a couple of weeks ago doing some classwork, and I was really stressed out, and I was like, man, you know what would be really good right now? A beer.
After I'm reading the Bible.
Well, then I crack open the Bible, and
oh, I like that. Yeah. Crack open the Bible.
Yeah, there we go. Don't crack open a cold one. Crack open the Bible. But
we should save up, and you could be like, you should do that for a Super Bowl ad next
year.
Yeah.
But I just open the Bible, and it drops me on 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and it talks about when Jesus is coming back, and he talks about coming like a thief in the night. But we're not children of the night, we're children of the light. Children of the night are getting drunk and partying, and children of the light don't do things that children of the night do.
Yeah.
And I was like, as I'm thinking, man, a beer would really be good, here's God in the Bible like, we don't drink.
Yeah. You don't drink.
Yeah, I don't drink. Yeah, yeah, yeah. For me, yeah.
Yeah. All right, getting back into worship. How has, for you, how has worship impacted your life? How has worship impacted, like, your walk with the Lord?
That's a tough one. I used to stand there. Before I got on the worship team, I'd be out there in the worship center just staring at the screen, hands in my pockets, not really doing nothing, listening to music, and it didn't hit me, you know?
Yeah.
And then slowly I started pushing myself to actually sing the words and pay attention. And I noticed that I could actually feel, I could feel God, you know? And it just came to the realization that it was a chance for me to be closer with him. And through worship, it's another way, just as reading the Bible is for me to grow closer to God. And, you know, I go and tell my dad how much I love him.
Yeah.
Worship's a way for me to tell God how much I love him, you know? You know, to throw aside these feelings of anxiety, like, oh, I can't sing too good. Well, the Lord don't care. You know, he made me. He knows how my voice sounds. He still wants to hear it. You know? And just being able to learn that as I've gone through my walk with Christ is amazing, because I was depriving myself, honestly, before I'd. Like, some people might feel weird about somebody putting their hands up or something, but I'm telling you right now, when you do, when you overcome that, it's like a wall in your heart. When you step over it, it's amazing. You know, you're breaking a dam down. It's honestly the same thing, like, with response after service or at the end of service. You know, some people might, especially if they're already saved, think, oh, I don't need to walk up there. But then you've got this wall in your heart that you're scared to go and show God how much you care for him, that you won't even walk up to an altar. But then when you finally do, you break that dam, and it's the same way. It's, you're opening something up. You're showing that I will take this step towards loving you.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, obviously I'm not very gifted, like, lyrically or anything like that. And so I haven't been able to find stuff to, like, really fully convey, like, my love and in my relationship with Jesus. And, but I find that worship music does a really good job of helping me begin to like fully understand like his love for me, like all of the stuff that he has done. Because, I mean, let's face it, there's times in our lives where we've like really, really, really prayed and cried out to God and he's answered those prayers. The normal person is just going to say, God, thank you so much. And I believe that that's more than enough for us to show love and appreciation for what he has done for us. I want more. Me personally, I want more. Because if somebody's ever done something for you, like maybe pulled over on the side of the road and helped you change a tire, or, you know, you were stranded, or maybe you were in the hospital or something like that, sometimes just thank you is not enough.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be able to go, I want that person that has helped me out, change a tire, whatever. I mean, I could change my own tires, but you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, someone went out of their way to like really, really, really help me out whenever I was in a bind. I don't want thank you to be enough.
Gratitude is an action word, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you go over to somebody's house for Christmas dinner, they done made a full spread, delicious. You can say thank you, or you can get up and help them do the dishes.
I typically take a nap.
Yeah.
that's my way. Gratitude is, especially if it's like a really good one, like a big meal. But like, no, I get it.
Yeah.
Like you want to show appreciation, not just by your words, but through your actions.
Yeah.
How do I do that? I take my arms and I uncross them and I lift them up to the sky and I sing my heart out, regardless of if it sounds good or not, because I am appreciative of what he's done for me.
Yep.
I want to come at his feet and worship the King of Kings for who he is. We say these terms, the King of Kings, he is the Lord of Lords, but do I treat him like he is the King of everything, that he is the Lord over all?
And that's the thought we need to have during worship is, you know, we're not just singing songs. We are dropping to our knees and praising the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, we are the most glorious being, our Creator. We are showing him what minuscule amount of love we are able to give him.
I know. Yeah. And so with such a finite mentality.
Yeah. It's, and when you're able, when you do that, when you take that leap towards that, you just, your connection grows, you know, your heart softens. That's what Jesus talks about, is the softening of our heart.
Yeah.
And that's one of the steps towards it, is being truly worshipful.
Yeah. That's good stuff. You're not playing this weekend, are you?
No. Me and Savannah are going to Asheville for Valentine's Day.
Oh, watch out.
Yeah, going to go do some hiking and stuff, and probably go see the Biltmore. We were going to go see it in November, but because they had set up for Christmas, tickets were like double price.
Oh, dude.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. You know, it's a cool place to go see is, I don't know, it's there's this place in Nashville or outside of Nashville. I think it's the Grand Ole Opry. Is it the Opry? I don't remember. Sorry, West Virginia folks, but it makes the Greenbrier look like a stinking double wide, bruh.
I love the Greenbrier, though. Have you done the bunker tour down there?
Dude, I know what a concrete building looks like.
I'm with you, but it's really cool seeing the, like, 30-foot blast door, you know? It's pretty cool. But, I mean, it is an empty concrete space. It's like a square in a mountain.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Like, I've seen some end-of-the-world movies, you know, that try to shove as many people as they can in the concrete bunker in the mountain. So, I mean, it's concrete. And it echoes. But I forget what it is. I think it's the Grand Ole Opry. No, or Opryland. Maybe. I don't know. But this place was ridiculous. Erica and I went a couple years ago. And it was awesome. We went with the kids through Christmas time. Everything was all the lights and all that stuff. But I'm looking forward to this weekend because I'm playing the drums.
Yeah.
I don't get the opportunity to do that very much, but I'm excited. All right. Time for our mystery meat question. If you don't even understand what the mystery meat is, and I don't know if you're a new listener or whatever. So what the mystery meat is, it's just like the mystery meat at a potluck. It's random. You don't know if you're going to like it or not. And so we have this jar that's full of questions that have been either submitted to us, ChatGPT has helped write, some other people have handwritten some and given it to us, but it's just a random question. You may not like it. You may like it. It always ensures a good time in my book because it allows my mind to wander and I get to come up with the craziest answers ever. All right. If you could time travel to any historical era just for the fashion, which one would it be?
Wild West. Easy.
Wild? What?
Dusters, dude. I love them.
No.
Dusters and six guns on your hip, man. Cowboy hats. I love it.
I cannot picture you in leather or whatever pants and leather chaps. Coming off a horse with, like, you know, the sashes of bullets.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, the bandoliers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't picture you. I can't picture you doing that, Will.
Oh, I love it,
or
man.
Or wearing it.
I love the West. What's that show? Gunsmoke. I love Gunsmoke.
Yeah. I don't know, Will. For me, I probably like the top hat era, like the 20s and 30s.
I could see that.
But not like during like the recession where like everybody's suffering and I'm walking around in like a top hat. That would be miserable. I'm like, can we do something to help these people out? Everybody, please.
Can I sell this top hat?
I know. Yeah. But like, I don't know. Maybe like the Renaissance.
Renaissance would be cool. Every June we go to the Ren Fair down in Lewisburg.
Yeah.
And it is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, knights and stuff. I love medieval things.
Yeah, that would be cool. What about like Mozart's era where like you have to like powder your face like white and you've got that big white wig that's like got a perm that sticks like 3 feet off the top of your head?
I think I'd be good, you know.
Wear capris, bruh. Men wear capris back then and stockings underneath that. How are you going to be good, Will?
Well, I'd be a peasant. I'd wear the sackcloth, you know?
I'll take a bag of potatoes and can you double bag that, please? I need a new shirt, homie. Good Lord, sir, what does homie mean? You're like, it's time to go back.
Yeah.
Time to go find my time traveling device and get back to where I can wear a hat every day of the week, please. And I can get away with saying the word homie.
Yeah, Wild West, though, definitely.
Wild West. That's a good one, I guess. Because you get like normal pants and you don't have to wear capris and stockings and stuff.
Yeah.
And it don't take you like an hour to get dressed, too.
Yeah.
I see. I'm not about that
and
life.
Good boots. You'd get some good boots, you know.
Well, I don't know. Were boots good back then?
I mean, they were handmade. I associate handmade with good.
But
I guess it'd probably be who you buying them from.
I don't know, dude.
Is it a guy with one arm making the boots?
Did they even have boots? Is that just a cultural thing?
Did we make that up?
Dude, we make up a lot of different things.
Hmm. Interesting.
Are we altering our reality of what cowboy era was, the Wild West was, because we have popularized it in pop culture with movies and television shows?
That's true. That's true. They might have had horrible fashion.
Yeah, we don't know that. Do we know that cavemen were like walking around with clubs and just wearing leaves and stuff? I don't know.
You've given me a lot to think about.
We went deep, dude. You know, we always think of like what people are going to wear in the future, and we always get it wrong. We always thought that we were going to look like baked potatoes, you know, with like aluminum foil wrapping our bodies and stuff.
That's true. That's true. All right. So if we got to go back to when I know for a fact how people dressed.
Yeah.
1950s.
Yes. Now, but what era? Like, because most people just wore like jeans and like a white T-shirt.
Ooh. See, I'm thinking like Mad Men, Don Draper dressed in the suit.
Yeah.
But there is the greaser aspect, you know. It could be John Travolta.
Like the original Rockabillys.
Yeah. Nice pompadour, you know.
I can't get away with that. I can't. I
tried it once.
How did he go?
It did not go good.
Yeah. I don't know. Erica laughs at me because it's like some of the stuff that I just leave the house in. Like, I'm in whatever this is, this cardigan.
Hey, it's a nice sweater.
It's not a sweater.
Cardigans are sweat. Cardigan sweater?
Cardigan. No, I think a sweater, like an actual sweater.
You think a turtleneck?
I think of like 80s sweaters, like they're like knit and stuff.
Okay.
I want to say like Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Before he turned into Bill Cosby, like his sweaters, like from the show, like the Bill Cosby show.
Yeah.
That's what I think of like sweater.
Yep.
This, I just, it's.
I got a cardigan for Christmas and I like it.
You don't ever wear it?
I know, I've worn it once.
That's like somebody saying, hey, man, I gave you your dream car, and I've only driven it once. Like, nah, you need to, like, rock that thing
all
the time.
It's hard for me to style it. I'm a T-shirt guy, you know?
I got a T-shirt on underneath this, Will.
Yeah, but it's a plain T-shirt. I do the graphic tees.
Get you a plain tee.
Yeah. I really like V-necks.
Get a V-neck. It'll go well with a cardigan.
Yeah.
I mean, you got the shoes. Now you just got to start stacking everything, right?
Yep.
So, alrighty. Anyways, if you're watching this on YouTube or Facebook, I don't know, leave us, where are you going for the fashion? I'm going back to like whenever I got married, to tell myself, hey dude, like you got to change some things so Erica could be happy with what you leave in the mornings with. Most of the, like whatever I wear on Sunday, that's all her. That's all her. Yeah. As long as she's happy, like with what I'm wearing one day a week, I guess it's all right. She hasn't gotten to the point to where she's more upset, but there's been a couple of times where she's like, dude, you have got to change something. You've got to do something different. Because I just put on shorts and I don't care if my T-shirt has stains on it or not. I'm at this point in my life to where I am wholeheartedly convinced.
I've got the love of a beautiful woman.
Well, I've been in it long enough to where I, like if something were to happen to Erica and she's no longer on earth anymore, it's, I'm not doing this again.
Yeah.
Like she has been that good to me and I don't want to. It would be a disservice to anybody else because I would have a very high standard of how she loves me.
Yep.
It would be an act of God. So anyways, all right. We love you. Thank you for watching and tune in next week. We're going to continue our discussion with Pastor Scott on Jonah. So, but anyways, have a great weekend. We'll see you next Friday.
Thank you so much for listening in with us today. We really appreciate it.
If you haven't done so already, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. You can also follow us on social media, on Facebook, Instagram. You can also watch the video version of this on YouTube as well. All you have to do is search up the Pastor's Potluck Podcast. From all of us here, we want to say thank you, and we'll see you next week.